Good morning, everybody. You who gather for Sunday Morning Live, God bless your hearts. Father, we just come in your name. Say, let the Lord be magnified this morning in our considerations, in scripture, in our fellowship. Lord, we just want to see you high and lifted up. We want to feel your power and your presence and be filled once again with your goodness. And so as we gather together, we just magnify your name. We glorify you, Lord. And thank you for the fresh anointing and all the new blessings of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, we're deep in our series, The Gift. And we're looking this morning at something I call the spirit of holiday. Because you can't go anywhere these days without Christmas carols playing, even in the hardware store, deals abounding, and the whole clamor and excitement, everything has kicked up several gears. The spirit of merchandising that the holidays have become actually can seem to dominate everything in the season. And anybody in the advertising industry, my sister, will tell you that the secret to good sales is not simply having a good product, but the absolutely critical strategy of promoting and packaging it in a way that is unique and advantageous. Companies actually spend huge percentages of their budget on advertising campaigns, and especially at this time of year, to create certain buzzwords around their products and to get a unique corner in a saturated market. It's all about the packaging, the atmosphere, the attitude, the spirit that surrounds the gift. So when we give a gift to someone, we don't just, you know, peel the price tag off and hand it to them. Oh no, we wrap it up as nicely, as attractively as we can, because we know that unwrapping the present is an important part of the whole process. And it's part of the anticipation. When we also, the entire season is wrapped in an intense flurry of special events, parties, get-togethers, just a general increase of visiting and hospitality. The art of party planning and hosting comes into huge play. The holidays are all about it. You just look at your calendar, you're going from one soiree to another. And it's exciting. And I could sure this morning we could compare war stories over the parties we've tried to throw, the parties we've been invited to, the things that happened at them, and have a really good laugh. Has this ever happened to you? You plan the most careful menu, make the most beautiful invitations, clean your house, put on music, light candles, go the whole nine yards with ambience. But when everybody gets there, somebody comes with a bad attitude that they absolutely refuse to let go of, and it can spoil the celebration for everyone. Just because all the trappings of a party are present doesn't mean everybody has a party spirit. Many a carefully planned soiree has crashed and burned by factors beyond the control of the host. Only a certain percentage of the event you can actually plan for. But in the end, you can't really control whether it's a success or not. You can only try to tip the odds in your favor. Lots of times, and I'm sure you've experienced it, the best parties you've ever been at were the unplanned ones. Something mysterious that happens when high spirits spontaneously ignite together. Everybody's just in the mood to celebrate. And amazingly, this seems to happen when conditions are far from perfect. You participate in a unique moment that you can never duplicate again. And we're very grateful for that. And I just realized that I forgot to do my review from last week. We talked about what a gift is and what a gift is not. A real gift is not a bribe, a sop, a snare, a rebuke, or a veiled insult. And if you didn't get any notes on that, there's still some on the back table. It's not simple quid pro quo either. When we understand the nature of true gifts and false ones, we do not become ensnared in things we shouldn't, resentful and offended by people and embittered by life. When we understand the difference, we will know when the true gifts of the Lord are coming to us, even when they come through unusual sources. So that's just a review. Sorry, I forgot about that. The packaging, it's all about attitude and atmosphere. And of course, this is the wrapping process. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. We may feel bad about our own hosting failures, but Scripture records that God himself has had some really stellar crash and burns. Luke 14, 16 to 24, it's one of the parables of Jesus, about the king who threw this really important party, and really nobody wanted to come. It did not turn out the way it was planned. God had this great idea when the time came, send Jesus to the earth and to release the great joy he felt to the people he loved so well and introduce the world to his beloved son. It was to be one of the hugest events in the history of the world. He set up unmistakable signs of glory for those who were looking for the promise of the Messiah. There were prophecies sent centuries ahead, a brilliant star in the heavenlies, archangels launched out on missions, massive angel orchestration. But some actually understood and participated, but to the bulk of humanity, and even his own elect race, it was totally missed or disregarded. It would seem, judging by human standards, that this huge event, this major feast of God, never got the attention and respect it deserved in its moment. And it was actually a huge flop. Have you ever thought of it that way? But of course, we celebrate it every year. So I think it's picked up some some of the joy it was supposed to have. These days, the most splashy, expensive, prestigious parties come out of Hollywood. If we took the Christmas story and ran it by the most esteemed party planners in Tinseltown, how would they assess it in terms of success? So let's present them with God's plan and, of course, an unlimited budget and listen in on their analysis for the best tactics for success. Okay, and when we're talking Hollywood, I'm going to put these glasses on so you know it's Hollywood speaking, okay? Okay, Luke 2. 1 to 16. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Okay, so wait a second. Right off the top, I can tell you these are the worst possible timing and conditions, circumstances for anybody to hold a major event. Who holds the most significant party of the millennium in the last days before taxes are due? Everyone's running around trying to get their paperwork in order, buy RRSPs, figure out how they're going to pay those extra taxes. Hello? No one is going to be in the mood for a party when they're worried about the government breathing down their neck. You guys, this venue is going to be insanely crowded. Not to mention that the whole ambience is ruined by the fact that by the time everybody gets there, they're exhausted, harassed, distracted, and they can't even concentrate. The whole reason for the party is the birth of God's son, and the guest of honor gets totally overlooked, shuffled off into some dark corner with the animals. The animals! This is so bad. People are going to be talking about this mess for years to come. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. We have all these spectacular effects, unlimited resources, consummate professionals, and who shows up? A bunch of nobodies. Where's the who's who? Where's the money? Where are the movers and shakers, the intelligentsia, the glitterati, the paparazzi, the supermodels, the tech giants? How are you going to generate buzz for this thing without them on the red carpet? This is not how it's done, people. So far, the packaging of this party is not going so well, God. It's not producing the widespread talk and hot attention that your son is worthy of. Matthew 2:1-11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Okay. We love that over-the-top gesture of the star, growing in intensity, creating anticipation until the day. Fabulous. Gabriel's great, winging his way all over the place with these blockbuster announcements, leaving a trail of gift bags behind him. Excellent promotion. But the invitations, what a disaster. Could they be more vague? This information has got to be front and center in bold-faced block type. These are ludicrous instructions. You can't just tell someone that when this special star appears, saddle your donkey and head to Bethlehem. Well, the prophets think it's Bethlehem. Middle of nowhere, somewhere in the area, the party will start. Just look for the angel choir. Who shows up for this deal? All you have is a gaggle of clueless shepherds, a couple of exhausted peasants, the sorriest collection of mangy beasts, three foreign guys in weird costumes who are basically gate crashers, which reminds me, we need to seriously revamp that whole security issue. No. Are you kidding me? After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, we love the gift bag, but really, let's think about this. We've got stars, angels, bling, great incense, perfume, lots of incredible lighting, but where are the victuals? Seriously, who's the caterer? I wonder if we could get Wolfgang this late in the date. What are you going to serve for food? Don't you know this thing needs a top quality menu? What planet are you from? Invitations, venue, promotion, participants, timing, all of them a disaster. Four words, big guy, fire your event planner. Oh, and don't forget about the latecomers to this feast of God. So the whole party finally moves into the temple where it might actually get some publicity in spite of itself. And who have you hired as the master of ceremonies? Simeon? No, not really. The guy is older than dirt. The old boy's been off his rocker for decades, wandering around telling everybody who'll listen that he's had a visitation from the Holy Ghost and telling him he won't die till he sees the Christ. This old codger's been hanging around here night and day, accosting all the mothers with babies that come into the temple. Oh, and don't forget, Anna. Who, you say? Are you talking about that old relic of skin and bones praying in the corner for hours? She's like coral growing into the wall. They come by and dust her off every now and again. God, have you ever heard of appointing people with some star power? Who's going to believe these losers? Where are your PR people? I shudder to think about the press coverage on this. The celebrity rags are going to have a field day. Can you hear the voice of Hollywood / Babylon in all of this? In case you haven't caught the gist of my parody this morning, it is this. God's idea of planning and throwing a big event is light years opposite to the way anybody else would ever think of doing it. And it is totally opposite to the spirit of the world. The true spirit of the kingdom is not the spirit of Hollywood. It's not the spirit of the Oscars. It's not the spirit of the Olympics. It's not possible to take the holy things of God and wrap them for a big splashy premiere in the ways of Tinseltown and other trappings of Babylon. But we live in a world that has become far more concerned and consumed with what the outer package looks like than the true authenticity of the contents. If we want the party God intended when he sent Jesus, we have to celebrate it his way. Okay, the Messiah chooses to come to us, our King, in a manner that is entirely humble. The spirit and essence of Christmas is about the glory of God entering the human realm in the humblest of packaging. Everything about this is contrary to the world. The word holiday actually comes from a combination of two words, holy day. And it is actually the spirit of the Sabbath magnified. It means Shabbat, Sabbath is where we get that word from, to stop, cease, and desist immediately. And the holy day is the day to promote God's agenda, not our own. It's a day to showcase the love and grace of the Father's heart. So in order to grasp kingdom priorities and wrap our gifts and the season in the way God would do it, let's look at some powerful examples from the Old Testament, a couple of parties that really emphasize what's important to God. The first is from Nehemiah 8. Now, this backstory is after a long season, a long exile. They are coming back. They've been rebuilding. But they haven't been studying the word in, 70 years. So they've kind of lost the gist of their relationship with the Lord. Ezra opened the book and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted up their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, and Ezra, the priests and teachers of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law because they realized how far away they had come from what the Lord had given them. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's some interesting principles in that story, and we've looked at them already, that it's an amplification of the Sabbath, a day that belongs to the Lord to promote the Lord's agenda, to lift people's attention off a dog-eat-dog world and on to the elevation, grandeur of the kingdom, and the hugeness of the Father's heart. There is a no-toiling mindset that is the foundation for a holy day. And you might say to me, well, that's all theologically well and good, but I've got this huge group of people coming to my house for Christmas dinner, and how am I supposed to have a no-toiling mentality when I have all that work and hosting to be done? Well, it is possible to be merry in the midst of Martha and to maintain a calm and a spirit of rest, even in the busyness. Release the spirit of perfectionism, unrealistic expectation, condemnation. I make the decision that even though I've really planned and I've tried hard, if things fall a little short of the planning, I'm not going to get all bent out of shape. I'm just going to roll with it in a relaxed kind of way. Where do we get this idea of plastic Christianity? It's not from the Lord. As we've seen in our little party planning drama, he wasn't aiming for that when he sent Jesus. And so it's a day to release, a season to release unrealistic expectations that everything is going to be perfect, and just embrace the people that God has placed around us in this moment. We are told in Scripture that we are accepted in the Beloved. Wouldn't it be lovely if we could sit in that word this season? And not feel like we're lacking, not feeling like we're falling short of the mark, not judging other people harshly, because we're accepted in the Beloved, but so are they. You know, my mom, I grew up on a farm, and I had chores to do, and we had hogs. And if you've ever gone into a pig barn, the stench will probably knock you off your feet if you're not used to it. And within a few minutes, it will permeate all your clothing, and you'll stink right down to the skin. And so my mom had this thing that we had a big porch area and a bathroom off to the side. When you came in, baby, you stripped right down to the skin and changed and put those chore clothes in the cupboard. And she never would allow any chore clothes past the line into the house. And the holy day is conducted on holy ground, and we need to take our shoes off, leave a spirit of labor, toil, contention, and striving when we come into it. Take off your chore clothes. Come into the holy day with a proper mental clothing, a good attitude. Do you remember in the Scriptures where somebody comes into the party and the guy says to him, "How did you get in here without a wedding garment?" There are proper clothes mentally for the feast. Don't wear your chore clothes. They probably stink. What do I mean by that? Psalm 55:22. David says, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And if you read this whole psalm, it's actually a lament about the difficult people in his life that he keeps bumping into. Former friends, former allies. He's been betrayed. He's been wounded. But he comes to this summation at the end of the psalm, and he says, I just cast my burden on the Lord. And will I cast my burden upon the Lord? He will sustain me, even when dealing with people who are very difficult for me. I release my agendas, my defenses, and just choose to let the love of God minister through me to them this day. I impart a spirit of acceptance. I love you just the way you are, here today, without agenda, because Jesus does. I am accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted in the Beloved. I honor the guest of honor, Jesus, by releasing his attitude. And it's hard, but catch yourself if you're treating people like black sheep. You can be here, but I don't have to like it kind of attitude, you know? God uses the holy day to deliberately expose these places in us, in our relationships, that need to be redeemed. But solving those relationship issues is work for another day, not for the holy day. And I challenge you to embrace the paradox and the contradiction of this season. We are imperfect people. We have fallen short of the mark many times, but we celebrate a perfect God and a wonderful day. Be still, don't weep, don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Secondly, there's another perfect example of a spontaneous party that beats them all, and it is the birth of the Feast of Purim found in the book of Esther. Celebrated by the Jews till this day, they had a death sentence passed over them, and the Lord used Esther to flip it on its ear and expose it and release the command throughout the kingdom that the Jews were free to defend themselves. And what was disaster turned into a holy day. And you can look at that in Esther 9, 1, 16, 19, and 22. I'm just jumping to 22. As the days went on, which the Jews got rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned for them from sorrow to gladness, from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days of sending choice portions to one another and gifts to the poor. Again, another good description of what the Lord's idea is for the holy day. Have you ever had one of these things happen? The holiday or the celebration or the family get-together or reunion that you dreaded the most turned into the biggest blessing. Unexpectedly, something happened. Maybe you just humbled your heart. The Lord got a hold of your attitude, and you ended up having a really powerful and critical conversation with somebody that just made the whole day for you. Ever had one of those? Because you trusted the Lord, fear and calamity can be turned into triumph. Where with the proper spirit, carnage can turn to carnival. As Christians, we should be setting the standards for the party. We should not be the wet blankets in the season dedicated to the object of our adoration. That's the true spirit of holiday, to proclaim through our actions freedom, salvation, liberty, joy, the goodness of the Lord. Wrap the whole season in the spirit of grace. Everything we have, we've received freely from the Lord, and that's just reason to celebrate, just right there. And to learn to celebrate even when conditions are less than perfect, because they always are. The whole season needs to be covered and beautified and protected by the wrapping of the Spirit of grace. So let's just sum that up again. Because we had a spirit of holiday. Have an attitude of resting. Everything doesn't go perfect. Get over it, princess. It's going to be okay. The Lord's here. This day is holy to your Lord. Stop weeping, grieving, being sorry for yourself. Maybe some of us just need to take a really good grip by the scruff of the neck on a spirit of self-pity and send it back to hell where it came from. The Lord is with you. He is on your side. Going to be okay. Expect good things. Stop being in a spirit of dread. Oh, I'll be so glad when that's over. Come on. We can ride on the joy of the Holy Spirit because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You can have as much of that as you want, as often as you want. Ask for it and receive it. And with those things, you will navigate the season with victory. Expect good things. Let the joy of the Lord strengthen you. Release the spirit of performance and perfectionism. Who are you trying to impress? Maybe you should try to impress God. I'm just saying. Embrace people as they are in a spirit of acceptance. You know, when you go to a party and you have to deal with somebody and you've kind of been like curled your lip up at them. They're just not your cup of tea. They've done stuff that's so stupid you can't even describe it. You know, somebody can tell when your heart has changed towards them. Even if you don't go over and say, I'm going to love you with the love of God today. You know, they can tell when you've let your defenses down and when you're not sneering at them inside. Embrace people as they are. Send choice portions to one another and gifts to the poor. Of course, we love to be giving our gifts. And we just ask the Lord to show us who needs the gift and what gift it is. Put on the proper garments of celebration. I will rejoice in the Lord, for he's covered me with the robe of righteousness. He has put on me the garments of salvation. Like a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, like a bride covers herself with jewels. Oh, hallelujah. I like that dressing for the season. It's pretty good. Garments of celebration. Let there be feasting. Of course, we need the victuals. We're expecting good food spiritually and physically. Zephaniah 3:14-17. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction, and in his love he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exult over you with singing. Catch the spirit of your father on the holy day. He's pleased with you. He's exulting in your love for him. He's not looking to stir up trouble or throw your past failures in your face. He is well pleased and wanting to share his joy. Don't stop him with your bad attitude. Just lay it down. With the sweetness, make him welcome at your feast with your family. Believe me, he wants to be there. A spirit of true kingly liberality. Can you catch it? Being consistent to everybody. The earnest desire to be an equal blessing to everyone we come in contact with is the true spirit of the holy day. And set the priorities of the Lord as your priority. It's really the unity of spirit that creates the feast. Noble purposes and the joy of the Lord will make the most holy feast, and the world will line up to get into it. The Father has laid out the table, lit the candles, gone over to the ghetto blaster and turned up the music, and he's looking at you with a big smile and saying, do you want to dance with me? He's ready to party. Are you? Lord, help us to wrap this season properly in the swaddling clothes of your spirit, in joy. Help us to release the sorrows, the failures of the past, the patterns. Lord, give us special anointing to break out of bad patterns and bad relating with certain people in our lives this year. I ask you for that overwhelming joy. Yes, Lord, let us catch this Zephaniah joy that you were in the midst of us and we are filled with your spirit and your power. Christ in us, the hope of glory, Emmanuel will come. Father, we just receive it, and we're so grateful for everything you've done and the people you've placed around us. Our many blessings, we rejoice in them this season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of course, I got some homework for you.
I think we have enough time. Let's get into like four or five groups, okay? Shen, would you do that for me?
Actually, let's split that in.
But if you've got couples, maybe if you're going to be in the same group, just grab one. Try to bust up couples. Try to go over with someone you haven't spoken to before or someone who's new that you don't know. And just have a look at those questions.